Welcome, 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 welcome.
As we can see, we're kind of shy about 90% of the people that are normally here, but that's okay. We will press on, and I think we can still have a good service. What you guys think? Like, yeah? Yeah, maybe? Shrug, yeah, whatever, man. Whatever you do, I don't care. All right, Jephthah. I know I've talked about Jephthah like once or twice in class before. I like Jephthah. Jephthah's cool. I kind of feel a connection to Jephthah. I kind of got the same issue as Jephthah. Insecurity. We all know what insecurity is. Yes, sir. If somebody starts choking or can't breathe, shove that in their mouth to just spray. I don't know whose inhaler that is. We'll get that. All right. Judges 12, 1 through 6 states, "And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, Wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon. And when I called ye delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon. And the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are ye come unto me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said, Ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim, among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, Let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto him, Art thou an Ephraimite? If he said nay, then said they unto him, Say now Shibboleth. And he said Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan. And there were fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. All right, a lot of big words, right? Jephthah was a mighty man of valor, as the Bible states, meaning Jephthah could fight. Jephthah was looked up to. People followed Jephthah, right? What we're looking at here, Jephthah had just had a big battle, and the tribe of Ephraim came to him. They brought all their army to him, and they were like, yo, Jephthah, why did you not call us, right? Back then, it would be disgraceful. Back then, it wasn't looked good if you didn't get called to battle, right? You were kind of seen as weak at that point. So they were mad. And Jephthah said, we called you. You just didn't come. Why are you coming to me wanting to fight? And then Jephthah got his men, and Ephraim got their men, and they fought. And then the Ephraimites tried to run. The Gileadites caught them at the Sea of Jordan, at the River of Jordan. And they basically blocked off the passages, right? They were trying to get through. They blocked it off, made a checkpoint, right? And they asked them a simple question. Say now Shibboleth. It's easier for the Gileadites to say the word. They can make the sh sound, right? And the Ephraimites couldn't. And if he said Sibboleth, they killed him. And they killed 42,000 people at the river if they couldn't say the word, right? Killed them all. Jephthah's got a bit of issue, right? Jephthah, he was a mighty man of valor. And with his family, he had a problem. He was driven away by his half-brothers. Because his mom was a prostitute, right? And his brothers, his half-brothers, were actually born from from Gilead's wife. So they were seen, they thought, we're the real family, dude. Your mom, we don't even know her. So they drove him away. Jephthah left. He settled in a different land. And he was surrounded by what the Bible quotes as scoundrels, right? Jephthah had pretty much his own version of the Robin Hood story, right? He was driven away, he settled somewhere else, and all the thieves and warriors and the people everybody else was scared of and didn't want anything to do with kind of came to Jephthah, right? And they started following Jephthah. He created his own army, his own tribe almost, of these people that were shunned, these people that were pushed out, right? These scoundrels. Now, years later, Israel and Ammon, a local kingdom, were warring. And the Gileadites came and asked for Jephthah's help. Right? Now, remember, these people had just kicked him out. They just said, you're not good enough, man. You're not part of the family. We don't even know your mom. Right? She was just a fling. They kicked him out. But now they come to him. The elders come to him and ask him for his help. And in return, they offered Jephthah to be the leader of the Gileadite tribe. Right? So Jephthah comes from the shunned one to now he could be the leader if they win. So Jephthah accepts, and he sends a letter to the king of Ammon. And in the letter, he starts out with, why do you disrespect me? Why are you disrespecting me by attacking us? Right? Remember, Jephthah's a mighty man of valor. People knew him. Details. And then the king sends back and says, we're attacking you because you took our land. You're not supposed to be here. It's our land. So Jephthah returns, and he details their travels and their pilgrimage from Egypt when the Pharaoh let the Israelites go. And he tells the king of all their travels and all the lands they conquered by God's hand. And then also of the other kings that just let them pass because they didn't want anything to do with them. Right? They didn't want to fight Israel. And he also said, if your God gave you something, would you not take it? So Jephthah basically says, king of Ammon, if your God, his name slips me, if your God would give you this land, wouldn't you move in? Wouldn't you take it? Well, that's what we did, right? This is what we did. God gave us this land. This is now ours. So they started fighting. Now, when the battle actually came, Jephthah made a rash promise. This I talked about in class. Jephthah swore to God and said, God, if you give me this victory, if you hand us the battle, if we win, I will sacrifice whatever walks out my door first when I get back home. At this point, I kind of like to picture Jephthah normally being greeted by his dog, right? Best friend. They hang out together. They hunt together. Every time he got home, there's the dog. The dog would greet him at the gate. Right? So in Jephthah's mind, that's what he's thinking. He said, I can do away with Fido. Fido's fine. Just give me the battle. Right? Jephthah returns home after the battle, and his daughter runs out the door. The one thing he loved the most in the world, he had to sacrifice because of his insecurities, right? Jephthah didn't feel like he could beat the Ammonites by himself. So he decided he's going to kind of wage a little bet with God. He's got to bribe God, right? God, if you just give this to me, I'll do this. I will sacrifice this. Right? So in his own insecurities, he also doesn't feel like maybe God would do it for him because he is who he is. Right? He's been kicked out. He's no longer part of the Gileadite tribe. So maybe, you know, I got to give a little bit extra cushion. I got to give a little bit of something for God to pay me attention. Right? And it ended up costing him his daughter. Now back to our original text. Ephraim hadn't joined the battle, right? It was just the Gileadites and the Ammonites. Ephraim didn't go. And they came to question Jephthah. They said Jephthah didn't ask them, right? They told Jephthah, you didn't even call us, man. You didn't even give us the text and said, hey, dude, we're about to fight. You didn't even offer the invite. And Jephthah said the otherwise. He swore that he did, and they just didn't show up. Now, the first choice of Jephthah not actually asking them is a little bit more likely. Because in passages before, they had complained to Gideon, the ruler of the Gideonite tribe, over something similar in Judges 8. You see, but Gideon bought them off, right? They came to Gideon with the same thing. Man, you didn't even invite us to the battle. What's going on, right? Because with the battle also came the spoils of war, right? You get the extra gold and whatever else you can take from your enemy. So they didn't even get to enjoy that. So Gideon gives them part of the spoils, even though they weren't even in the battle. He gives it away. Well, Jephthah, with his insecurities, decides not to. Jephthah says, you know what, man? This is my home. And you come to me and call me a liar. And Jephthah kills him. Takes all his men and kills the Ephraimite army. And the ones that try to run, he sets up that little checkpoint at Jordan. And, you know, asks them if they can just pronounce a word. And if they pronounced it wrong, he killed them. So he killed at least 42,000 men of the tribe of Ephraim that day. And the tribe of Ephraim never played a role in Israel's history from then on. Jephthah lost a great ally there. The Israelites lost a great ally. Just over one man. Right? Because he felt a little disrespected. Because he felt he had to prove himself yet again. This time, he didn't bribe God. He just murdered 42,000 people. Right? It's a terrible price to pay for Jephthah's insecurities. Jephthah never felt adequate after the mishap with his family. He never felt good enough when they kicked him out. He never felt like he was quite up to par when they said, you know what, man, you're not even part of the tribe. Leave. Right? And to make up for this, Jephthah thought he had to cover for his shortcomings. He thought he had to, you know, make some rash promises or decisions that affected not only himself, but the entire nation forever. He felt like he had to kind of play a different role. He had to prove himself. He sacrificed his daughter, the most precious thing to him, because he couldn't just sit back and believe God for the victory. He felt he had to bribe her. He killed at least 42,000 men just because they questioned him, and thus cost Israel an entire tribe. How many times do we, as youth, we as teenagers, we as young adults, get ourselves in bad situations because we feel a little insecure? We put ourselves in a bit of a pickle because we feel like we got to prove ourselves to somebody. Now here I got written, tell a story. And just like last time, I'll give you a little bit of me, right? I'm not going to pick anybody else out. I'll just prove we all do it, right? I had a little Ford Focus when I was in high school. And after I was in ROTC all 4 years of high school, and after one of our drill practices, I was taking two young ladies home, dropping them off. And I decide I'm going to take a side road that nobody ever travels because I know I could drive really fast down that road. And in my mind, I thought I had to prove that I would, prove that I could. So I do it. And I end up spinning out and flying off the road and getting stuck, and the police show up, and my dad shows up, and it was just a bad situation all around. And in the end, I didn't do anything but lose something, right? I lost a little bit of that respect, maybe. I lost a little bit of that face I was trying to, you know, make. Instead, I just looked like an idiot. I drove off the road. I almost crashed and killed two people. I was about 5 feet from a pole and about another 5 feet from this huge utility contraption. I don't even know what it was. But by the grace of God, I happened to slide right in between the two. I could have killed them because it would have been on their side. It would have been on that side of the car. I'd have been fine. And I would have killed two people just because I felt a little insecure and I felt I had to prove myself. I felt I had to do something cool. Right? There's even a modern example of Jephthah using the difference in language to catch the Ephraimites, how he killed the 42,000 people. In the Second World War, when Holland was occupied by the Germans, Dutch and German are similar languages, right? And a lot, they kind of sound the same. But there are certain words, pronunciations in Dutch that the Germans can't make. There's a few distinctive sounds that are really tough for the Germans to pronounce. Because there were German spies in the Dutch resistance, words with these sounds were used as passwords to filter out the imposters. Classic examples. Now, I'm going to attempt these words, whether they're right, probably not. But just bear with me. Right? So there's Scheveningen, the name of a town near The Hague, which has the classic hard Dutch G sound. Nijmegen, in another town, more to the southeast, which has the ish sound, Germans can't pronounce right, right? It's the I-J. And there's also some examples of Americans doing the same thing. That's how they kind of filtered out the spies. Same thing. Jordan, they got a big checkpoint set up, a big crossing of the river. Hundreds of people walking through every day. And they're just kind of walking and, what's the password? Say this. They say it a little different. They murder. It's insecurity. It's really insecure. That you feel like you got to go attack something. Kill 42,000 people just to kind of prove yourself, right? We struggle with insecurity every day. I say practically daily, but it's every day. We feel we need to prove ourselves to our friends and to those we hang out with. Am I alone in that? I didn't think so. We feel like we gotta be this person. Like that we gotta be this person that we've placed in the minds of the people around us that we think they think we are. That's confusing, right? We feel like we got to put up a face. We feel like we're weak in something. And we may put ourselves in a tight spot to prove to everyone, even ourselves, that we can, in fact, do it. It's a struggle constantly with our walk with God also. We get to a trial in our lives that God is trying to use to bring us closer to Him. Right? When we begin to see that we can't make it through ourselves, instead of allowing God to take over, we try to power through to prove that we aren't weak spiritually, right? That struggle happens. That trial happens. And we think, man, I got this. You know, I've been a Christian for whatever amount of time I've been a Christian. And, you know, I can make this. This ain't nothing, right? And then we start to figure out, well, it's probably a bit above my pay grade right now. I don't think I can quite make that. But that just means I'm weak. I got this. You know, I read the Bible. I pray. I had that one experience in church where I ran around a little bit and I got this. Right? So then we try to power through and we end up failing. We end up losing ourselves in this. And instead of praying for God's help, we tackle the problem and oftentimes cost ourselves a great breakthrough. We may even lose someone who may have come into church otherwise. We may even lose a soul that was watching us, that was following us, that was looking at us for what would he do? You know, maybe we're going through the same struggle as our buddy next to us. We just don't know it. And he's like, hey, that was the Christian. That was the one. He knows God. If God's really, really got him, let's see what he does. Let's see if God brings him out. And then because of our insecurity, we like to fight it and don't lean on God. We like to do it ourselves. And then we not only just lost our battle, we might have just lost somebody else. I know as the man I am, I know who I am. I have a hard time not taking over every issue. Right? I've been trained to be the leader. I've been trained to take control. And letting another take charge is really hard for me. Me sitting back and saying, nah, you got this, God. Or Brother Clay, you got this. I trust you. Aaron, you take it over. I don't think I can quite make it today. I think this week's been a little hard on me. I can't quite do it. That's rough for me, personally. I like to be in charge of everything. It's the way I am. Spiritually, the same thing. Spiritually, I hit that struggle, and I'm thinking, you know, I got this. I don't want to bother God with my problems. I got this. I'm a man, right? That's an insecurity. That's a problem. I can't just let it go. This is prevalent constantly in my walk with God. I struggle with just letting go and allowing God to work. God uses our weaknesses to his advantage. You know, he uses the weak to lead the strong. So the weaker we are, the more God can use us. The more struggle we have, the more we're supposed to just let it go. And the more God can show through, right? So if we're weak in something, he's trying to prove to us, hey, I got you. He's trying to prove through us, you know, I can use you. No matter what, I can use you. Our shortcomings or insecurities are not a hindrance to God, but instead a way for him to show his might and glory to those through us and to those around us. So I would like to challenge us. Short, sweet, to the point today. I'd like to challenge us. Whatever problem you might have right now, whether it be, I don't know how I'm going to eat tomorrow, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the rest of the week. I don't know how I'm going to pass these tests. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this guy at school that just will not let up, will not let me go, will not leave me alone. I'm not strong enough to do this. I don't know how my family member is going to get through the sickness, or I don't know how my family is going to be saved. Whatever you're holding on to, whatever you feel like you've got to control, I'm going to challenge us tonight to let go of it, to just sit back and watch God be God, to just sit back and, you know, watch the Creator create. Let him show his power. Because we're not weak in God's eyes. He sees the future version of ourselves that he's trying to make us into. You know, whatever giant that's in our life that we can't see around, we can just allow God to prove that he's a little bigger.
the mountain that we can't quite climb, he was put there by God so he can show us that he will carry us over. He sees the minister, the evangelist, the missionary, the youth leader that's inside of you. It's underneath all the fear, all the problems, all the shortcomings, all the insecurity. Remember, faith is being able to just take that step into what's unknown, to believe that God will not allow us to fall. When I was sitting there on y'all's side of the little black podium here, you know, I always felt like, you know, this is where I wanted to be. This is who I wanted to be, right? But I never felt like I could. Never felt like I was quite good enough because I saw other people. I saw the youth leader at the time and was thinking, man, I'm nowhere near that. And I'm still not anywhere near that. Right? But he's using my weakness. He's using the fact that I just can't let him take over. He's using that every day. God loves each and every one of us. Every one of you. And just wants to be God. So, if you would, let's take a few minutes. We'll come up front. We'll all gather around. Come up front. And all I want you to do is just let go. Whatever the problem is, and I know there's a problem, each of us are facing something, whatever it might be, whatever's in the back of our minds bugging us, I want you to just close your eyes and let go and trust God. And begin to pray that he do his will, that he have control, that he uses us. You might have messed up, or what type of week you've had, or month you've had, or whatever's going on at home, God just wants you to know that he's got you. You just got to let him take control. You just got to let it go. God, in your name, God, right now, we give it all to you. The burdens, the struggles, the pain, the hurt, the fear, God, I just hand it to you. Into your hands, God, I give it up. God, I trust you. I invite you to lead me. Show me the way. Show me what you'd have me do. Show me what you'd have me say, where you'd have me go. God, give me the strength and the faith to take that step. To just take that leap, to land in your arms. In Jesus' name. We all said, amen. All right. Hope everybody has a good week. Happy Thanksgiving coming up. I'll see y'all tomorrow, but, you know, just in case, happy Thanksgiving. I hope everybody has a, what, you're all on holiday now, huh? Oh, nice. I wish. Corey is not. Yeah, exactly. Hope everybody has a great vacation. Don't do anything I wouldn't do, which probably ain't a bunch. yeah, you're dismissed. Thank you for coming. It's